This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Spring is here. Are you ready to enjoy the season's beauty from two wheels? It's bike month, and today we're going to talk about how to get your ride ready for the roads or trails. We'll also discuss the expansion of Cincinnati's Wasson Way into Avondale and the work some local cyclists are doing to make the sport more inclusive. Joining me now are Tri-State Trails Executive Director Wade Johnston. Welcome back, Wade.
Happy to be here.
Great to have you. Major Taylor Cycling Club of Cincinnati President Douglas Prather. Thanks for being here, Douglas.
Thank you for inviting me.
Engineer and volunteer Mobo Cooperative bike mechanic Fraser Cunningham. Welcome back, Fraser.
Thank you so much, Lucy.
And Queen City Bike Board member Kathy Cunningham. Thanks for being here, Kathy.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Do you have questions about getting your bike ready for the season? Are you curious about the best places to ride in the region? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Wade, let's talk about the significance of bikes. The Federal Office of Highway Policy says 30% of Americans don't drive. That includes kids who should not be driving. Let's make that clear. What does that say to you about the significance of bikes and bike sharing programs like the one we have here in Cincinnati?
It is so important that we have bikes as an accessible option for folks to ride, whether it's for recreation or for transportation. And, you know, there's a couple of different factors that go into play for making a city bike friendly. A big part of that is having high quality infrastructure on the roads and on trail routes so that folks can safely make the choice and feel comfortable making that choice to ride a bike. And then, you know, in Cincinnati, a bike share system is a really important part of that. And there's some exciting news that will be coming out soon of Red Bike reopening next week for the summer months. They were able to find the funding to reopen after suspending operations. So, you know, I think between those two things and the exciting community that we have around our bicycling scene here in Cincinnati, we are a really bike-friendly city and trying to become even more.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that some people use bikes for recreation. Some people are using them to get to work or, you know, appointments, other things. That kind of goes to the importance of trails and bike lanes, too, right? You talked a little bit about that, but how important are those pieces of the puzzle to make a city truly bike friendly?
We often hear from the public that folks are discouraged about riding with vehicles, in particular on busy roadways. Because of the way that drivers drive, you know, we have a bit of a speeding problem in Cincinnati and around the country. We, over the past 10 years and even in the past several years following the pandemic, we have seen more crashes, and the folks who are disproportionately impacted in a crash, if it's between a bike and a pedestrian, or a car and a pedestrian, or a car and a bicycle, is the vulnerable roadway user. So it is so critical that if we want to have more people riding bikes, that we give them an option to get from point A to point B. And that is bike infrastructure. That is trails. That is protected bike lanes. And that is connectivity. For so many people, getting to a dangerous intersection or a gap in the trail or just a treacherous pinch point is enough to discourage them from riding. And so much of the work that we do at Tri-State Trails is advocating for connecting the trail network and the bikeway network so that that option is easier and safer and more comfortable for folks to make.
Douglas, how important is that connectivity to you and when as a cyclist?
Yes, it's very important, especially since most of our cyclists ride within the city. And people just, as Wade mentioned, just drive so crazy nowadays. So having protected bike lanes, the option of going off on a trail is very important.
Yeah. Kathy, do you kind of check out that connectivity before you plan a trip? Do you make sure, I mean, you and Fraser are both very experienced cyclists, I know, but do you know exactly where the bike lanes are and the trails that you want to use before you set out?
Absolutely, 100%. People who know me know I'm a little obsessed with designing routes, creating routes. And it is, at the current time, sort of like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. We have a wonderful growing network of protected bike lanes, of off-street trails. Those can often be combined with, you know, low traffic neighborhood streets, especially in our older neighborhoods when you're looking at the older parts of the city. There are still missing pieces, like Wade referred to, pinch points, getting across the expressways, sometimes dealing with some of our hills and places where there's just a lot of cul-de-sacs and no way to get through. But yeah, absolutely. You know, when thinking about it from the safety perspective, it really does pay off to plan ahead. And I will mention, too, Tri-State Trails has worked really hard developing what they call the low-stress bike map. And every year or so, they keep adding to it, updating it, expanding it so it covers a larger area. So that's a really good starting point for a lot of people when they're thinking about how to get from one place to another.
Yeah. We're talking about bikes and biking for the full hour today. You can join the conversation and tell us what your favorite trail or bike lane is by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Wade, we've been talking about trails. Tell us about the Crown Trail expansion in Avondale.
Yes. So the Crown is a vision for a 34-mile trail loop around the city of Cincinnati. And the whole premise of this project is to link up four trails that have been in development: the Wassum Way, the Little Miami Scenic Trail, the Ohio River Trail, and the Mill Creek Greenway. Since 2020, we have been partnering with the city of Cincinnati and Great Parks of Hamilton County and a number of other partners to build out this network. And last year, in December, the city of Cincinnati cut the ribbon on Wassum Way Phase 6A, which runs from Woodburn Avenue right by Xavier University to Blair Court in Avondale. What's really exciting about this trail is it reconnects Evanston and Avondale. It connects Avondale to the rest of the Wassum Way Trail network. And it's a safe connection that has not existed for a number of years since, you know, the highway was built and divided these communities. So following the opening of the trail in December, this spring, we partnered with the city and did a ribbon cutting for the lighting on the trail. So this trail is now safe and accessible at all times of the day. And this year, we are partnering with Xavier University to construct the trail through the campus, partially through the campus. There is a little bit of a gap right now from Montgomery Road to Woodburn, so stay tuned. That is coming. And then next year, the city will be expanding the Wassum Way further west to connect to the intersection of Martin Luther King Drive and Reading Road.
Ah. Well, I knew that members of the community had raised some concerns about lighting and safety. You mentioned lighting. Are there other things that have been done along the trail to kind of address those concerns?
Well, you know, the trail for the Wassum Way in particular was formerly a railroad corridor. Mm-hmm. It was derelict, overgrown, you know, dumping, sometimes even illicit activity was happening. And what the trail has done, what the city has done, has activated this space and made it functional. And as a result, it is now a world-class linear park that folks can use to walk, to bike, to scooter, you know, whatever. And what I think is so exciting about the Wassum Way is how it goes through the heart of so many communities where you can actually use it to get to the grocery store or to go to school or to get to work. And I'm most excited about it connecting to Uptown because of that being our second largest employment hub. The number of people it will connect to jobs, I believe that we will start to see this undeniable momentum that is already starting, that Cincinnati is a safe place for people to bike and more people will choose to do it.
Frazier, you're nodding your head, which I know our listeners can't see, but do you use Wassum Way a lot?
Yes, I do. And in fact, I just love hearing Wade talking about that development, because as a person who, in my career at General Electric, I was a bike commuter every single day, year round. It's music to my ears that as a city, we're making great strides to making cycling more friendly for people who would want to do that. I met so many people in my career who would say, oh man, I wish I could do that, but it's too dangerous from my neighborhood. And some of those people I'd try and work with to find the least risky, let's say, route. So this, all of this development is just fantastic. Yeah. And actually, when I was spending most of my time riding to work and back on I always use the same route because it's safer, because people expect to see me there. It's music to my ears to not only to see all of this stuff happening, but actually enjoy it myself, because now I can ride whenever I want. So I take advantage of all these. And it's so nice when I think about how I, what my ride was like. Not that I didn't enjoy it. I enjoy it no matter what. But to be able to kind of drop my guard, so to speak, and feel safe, oh, it's $1 million. It's great.
We do have some callers who are calling in. Nate, thank you so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I know it can be difficult in Cincinnati to bike because of the terrain between ridgelines. But has any thought been, or has anything been thought about, like bicycle lifts, up steep hills? There's a good example in Trondheim, Norway, where you just like put your foot on something and then it actually pushes you up a hill. And I think a great location for that would be like between MLK and Ludlow along Clifton Avenue.
Well, thanks. We'll see what our experts have to say. Have you heard about any projects like that people have been thinking about, Wade?
Well, I'm familiar with the example he's given in Norway, and it's a very simple machine. It's like a counterweight that pulls you up the hill. I'm not familiar with anything like that being planned here in Cincinnati, although our streetcar inclines could present a unique opportunity for that. But I will say that the metro and tank bus is the equivalent of what you're looking for. That each bus has two bike racks on the front. Many of the main routes that go up a hill have a bus line riding on it. And there is no shame in waiting for the bus to make your ride a little bit easier to climb a big hill.
Yeah,
I would add to that also the advent of e-bikes is your friend in this case too, because there are many flavors of e-bikes. You don't have to necessarily feel that you're copping out or anything like that, in as much as there are e-bikes with a throttle that are literally like a motorized bicycle. There are e-bikes that you can vary the degree of assistance from the electric motor. So if you want to ride the bike under your own steam and then just use that on a hill, it's perfect for that.
Yeah. Thanks for that call, Nate. Great question. And I believe the former director of the Cincinnati Art Museum, he told me once he had an e-bike and he used it to get up that hill and could pedal his way the rest of the way. So we got an email also, if I can find it on my screen here. Joe emails, do you have any statistics on utilization of the Clifton Avenue bike lane? I have never seen a bicycle in it. Narrowing a major street for what appears to be a little used bike lane strikes me as a head scratcher.
We have some data on that. It's a couple years old at this point, but when it was installed, Tri-State Trails partnered with the city and the DeVue Good Foundation to put that in as a demonstration project, and it ended up remaining semi-permanent in its current form.
Thank you.
The trail, we set up trail counters on the bike lane, and if I'm remembering correctly, there were at least 100 people a day up in front of UC by the College of Arts and Sciences that would use the bike lane. And I think especially in an area like UC, where there's so many people who are students who may or may not be able to either store a car or afford a car, it is really critical that we provide safe biking options around campus, especially because there's a known pedestrian safety issue. I mean, there was somebody who was hit and killed on Jefferson Avenue recently. The whole perimeter of campus has wide thoroughfares where people are driving fast. And I think overwhelmingly we hear from the neighborhoods in Cincinnati that folks want cars to slow down. And so adding the bike lane on Clifton Avenue is a way to design the street to drive slower and provide that safe space for bikes.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. Hi, Victor. Thank you so much for calling and for your patience. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, you've got a good panel of experts and with the Tri-State Trail stuff. I'm wondering if you guys are all familiar with what's going on in Norwood with their bike path implementation, the city of Norwood, of course, in Hamilton County, and what the plans that were presented. Have you guys been involved in that? And how does Norwood take advantage of all the funding tools to really implement some bike path implementation, because that's an important part for these small communities, whether it's Norwood, Deer Park, Silverton, any of these others that are not really part of Cincinnati but are standalone municipalities. How do you connect with them to make sure that, you know, that there aren't these blind spots or these barren areas where there's no bike paths? And then are you also familiar with Norwood's efforts with the Norfolk Southern trying to purchase railroad property to extend with the Wasson Way, but extend that into Norwood through, you talked about the Xavier campus, and that part of the Norfolk Southern line runs off of that, would be a great connection all the way over to a couple of large parks that the city of Norwood has. So I threw a bunch of questions in there. I apologize, but you could go with what you're comfortable with.
Okay. Thanks so much, Victor. We appreciate that. Feel like those are for you, Wade.
Yeah, I've got some answers. I'm familiar with the plan that they're developing in Norwood. You know, for those of you who may not know, the Wasson Way Trail is actually the dividing line between Cincinnati and Norwood, the former railroad. And so as a result, Norwood touches the Wasson Way, and it is prime to take advantage of that opportunity. There were formerly trolleys or streetcars that went into Norwood. Some streets like Floral and Forest are super wide and very low traffic. We've been suggesting to Norwood for several years that those are great opportunities to connect the Wasson Way Trail and extend it into the community and even tie into like the Factory 52 development that was recently reconstructed. Norwood, from what I hear, is talking with the railroad about trying to buy that rail line that goes out of Xavier and would hug the kind of the west side of Norwood around Millcrest Park. Wouldn't it be great if there was a little loop that would tie in? And I think that that opportunity is present for many of the first ring suburbs in Cincinnati. But what it often boils down to in accessing these federal funds is, you know, the local match requirement, the administrative capacity to apply for big federal grants and manage them. Those are challenges that are hard to overcome for a community like Norwood that is smaller and doesn't have a big engineering department like the city of Cincinnati.
Sure, the big staff. Would you like to add something, Douglas?
Yeah, I'd just like to piggyback. I used to work downtown, and once upon a time, Cincinnati had a bike facility down by across the street from Smale Park. So I would ride my bike and commute several days a week, and I would ride down Montgomery Road through Norwood. It's a major thoroughfare, but there was less traffic than there would be on Reading Road. And so I would love to see something happen for the city of Norwood.
Yeah. Thanks so much for all those great questions, Victor. We appreciate your listening. We appreciate your call. We are going to continue our Bike Month show in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our Bike Month conversation, talking about what you need to do to be ready to ride and some of the places you can check out on two wheels. My guests are Tri-State Trails Executive Director Wade Johnston, Major Taylor Cycling Club of Cincinnati President Douglas Prather, Engineer and Volunteer Mobo Bike Mechanic Fraser Cunningham, and Queen City Bike Board Member Kathy Cunningham. Do you have questions for our experts? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We got an email from Suzanne. Suzanne asks, my husband and I ride the local bike lanes every day. They are awesome, except many/most are filled with debris, including glass. I've had more than one flat tire after riding Central Parkway. Is there a plan in place to regularly sweep the bike lanes? Does that happen now? And if so, how often? Is anybody familiar with that? Oh, Fraser, you volunteer as tribute.
I love that question. Firstly, I can empathize with the problem, indeed. So apparently, the machines that they make specifically to clear bike lanes have to be narrow, and they're incredibly expensive. And I recently discovered, actually I was enlightened by Matt Butler of DeVu Good Foundation, about a design that's been invented in Portland where I, for example, or any of us guys could tow behind our bike a bike lane sweeper, which sweeps and catches the debris, which you can dispose of responsibly when it gets full and what have you. And I am reaching out right now to the designers of this machine in Portland, and some friends of mine and myself are going to be building one or more of those, and we're going to do it, be doing just that. We'll be looking for volunteer cyclists to pull them along. It's an electric-powered sweeper that uses plastic buckets to catch the debris in, and you just hook it to your bike and ride down the bike lanes.
Interesting.
So, yes, that's okay. going to be coming.
Yeah. Douglas?
Yeah, there are very nice bike lanes within the city of Cincinnati. As Frazier pointed out, though, the issue, and as well as the caller, keeping them maintained clean, that's a problem. And from what I understand, the city of Cincinnati, they subcontract that out to some company. And there's just, because I had inquired, okay, what's the procedure for following up? Do you have someone that goes out to make sure they got the job done? That's somewhat non-existent. So, mm-hmm. And they rely upon cyclists to call in and say, hey, this street needs to be cleaned, that street needs to be cleaned. So it's more of a reactive versus a proactive situation.
Well, it seems like that can be a little tricky, too, because it can be clean, and then somebody can break a bottle, and within a minute, it's not clean anymore. Kathy, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, glass is, you know, obviously really hard for the city to deal with. But I did want to suggest, too, that the city has an app that you can put on your phone. It's called 311 Cincy. It's very easy to use. So if you're riding along and you see a particularly bad section that just really needs to have a crew come out and clean the lanes, because they can be clean. We don't have the specific, you know, equipment right now, but they can be cleaned up. I really encourage people to submit that. And in terms of bike preparation, Fraser may, you know, add something here too, but we have had really good success with getting inner tubes for our tires. They're called like slime inner tubes. There's a few different brands, but they have a material inside of them so that if the tube is punctured, it basically self-heals while you're riding. And so it really cuts down on the number of times you have to like literally pull over and take your tire off and do a whole, you know, roadside repair.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you wanted to add to that, Fraser.
I've actually, when I was regularly commuting, I've ridden over 50,000 miles of commuting mileage with slime inner tubes with zero punctures. Now, most cyclists, when I say that, are first astonished and in disbelief. But I'm here to tell you, the way you know that you've had, let's say, things getting through your tire when you use these slime inner tubes is when you wear the tire out finally, and I did plenty of wearing tires out, I would take the tire off, and when I pulled the tube out of the tire, it would tear itself open because it was glued to the tire.
Wow.
And so you could maybe count how many times. It doesn't matter. The point I'm making here is those things really work.
Interesting.
They really work.
Yeah. Douglas?
This may be a sort of a pie in the sky solution, but thinking forward, I would love to see companies adopt bike lanes and maintain them, much like they adopt streets and highways. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have another caller on the line. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I have a question. Most of what I'm hearing about the bike lanes are on the east side of Cincinnati. What's happening to connect the west side of Cincinnati?
Thank you, Mike. We always like to hear representation from the west side. I hear that's the best side. We appreciate your listening and calling. Wade, what say you?
Yeah, okay. So there's a couple corridors that are in development. The Ohio River Trail West, the city of Cincinnati just had a public meeting about this. They're working to extend the trail from Lower Price Hill to Sedamsville and Riverside. The Lick Run Greenway is a park and a trail that's in South Fairmount, and that will be connected to Central Parkway when the new Western Hills Viaduct is built. So a couple years out, but a really major connection for the west side. And on top of that, the city of Cincinnati has grant funding in the hopper to extend Lick Run Greenway west to Dunham Recreation Center and Rapid Run Park. And then two more, the Great Miami River Corridor, Great Parks Hamilton County is developing a master plan for extending the trail down from Fairfield all the way to Cleves. And Tri-State Trails right now is working on a plan. It's kind of like north central, you know, teetering on the west side. It's called the Mill Creek Triangle Trail. It's a partnership with 12 different communities to form a network in the center of Hamilton County. And we just did a public input session for that last week and have a comment period open. So go to our website, check it out. And we are trying to connect trails to the west side.
Yeah. Thanks for that call, Mike. I hope that answers your question.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Douglas, I want to talk with you about the Major Taylor Cycling Club in Cincinnati. Tell us what it's all about and who it's named for.
Okay, it is named for Marshall Major Taylor. He is the first world champion in any sport. He happened to be a cyclist. So he ruled the world of sprint cycling like from 1899 to 1907. He was born outside of Indianapolis as I think he was around 13, 14 years old. He moved to Worcester, Massachusetts. And most of his exploits happened abroad because of the discrimination and racism here in America. However, his legacy lives on, as there are over 60 Major Taylor clubs within the United States. There's also one in Africa and also one in Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
Our club here locally is 6 years old. It was founded by Lamont Wilson and Rodney Harding. And we have cyclists from all walks of life and at all levels.
Yeah. And what's the goal of the club? What's it all about?
It's all about fun, fitness, and fellowship. So we welcome from all walks of life.
Yeah, that's great. How long have you been cycling, Douglas?
Well, it's funny you asked that question because I've been riding since about 2003. I used to play a lot of tennis, and as part of cross training, I started cycling on the side. But I consider myself to be more just riding versus an actual cyclist. As far as becoming a cyclist, that kind of took off with the formation of our club around 6 years ago.
Okay. And have you, I know cycling's got a reputation as being a very white male dominated sport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the sport getting more diverse in the time that you've really been focused on it?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Like I say, when I started riding around 2003, I didn't see a whole lot of folks that looked like me. But that has actually changed quite a bit. And so I do see more and more people that look like me that's out there cycling, and quite frankly, I get excited about it. And I know there have been times when we've cycled through communities like Avondale, Evanston, and that folks are clapping and cheering us on. And, you know, I'm feeling like Jackie Robinson or somebody.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I see
superstar.
A lot of that. Yes.
That's great. We got an email from Dan. Dan emails, how are the plans going to connect the Little Miami River bike trail system to the Great Miami River? By Joe system. I don't know if it's by Joe. Oh, okay. Did you talk about that already, Wade? I'm sorry.
No, not quite. But there's a plan. It's called the Miami to Miami Connection. And the goal is to connect essentially Mason to Hamilton. There was a piece of it that opened up last year in Gilmore Ponds Metro Park with Metro Parks Butler County. That project is definitely a longer-term project because of the landscape it goes through. But I would say Hamilton and Mason in particular have been really working to build out piece by piece. And last year, with the completion of the Grandin Road King Avenue Bridge, Deerfield Township is now connected to the trail system safely. So there's definitely a plan, and it's a longer term vision.
Okay. Well, you said the word Mason, and that reminded me that Rick from Mason sent me a question on X, formerly known as Twitter, earlier today. Rick wrote, we need bike education in school for kids in the Cincinnati metro area and efforts to get more kids biking to school. What are schools doing to promote biking? Is anybody familiar? Oh, Fraser raises his hand.
Yeah, that's a good one for me because I just finished a program, a STEM program with Hartwell School. And people like me, today I met a bunch of my fellow GE engineers there, enjoy going into the schools. And I wish more schools would do these STEM programs because people like me want to go there and help kids not only enjoy bikes, we help them build bikes and now they're riding them. Also teaching them the fundamentals of mechanical things, engineering. Hopefully some of these kids will be inspired to be future engineers. It would be awesome. I would love to see more schools doing those STEM programs. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Douglas?
Yes. One of the Major Taylor clubs down in Macon, Georgia, they have a youth division. And we are trying to get a youth division here within our club. The guy that's heading that up, Ralph Berry, he's also trying to get a club, a bike club at this at his school. He works at a charter school down in the West End. The other thing I wanted to piggyback on is with Frazier is that there was a STEM club with the Winton Hills Rec Center this past summer, in which bikes were donated and the kids got a chance to take apart a bike. They would take a part off and then put it back on just so they can learn the mechanics of the bike. Another one is coming, I think, in Avondale this summer. So we're very much a part of that, and we're happy to do that because, after all, the youth, that's our future, and so we need to make sure that we keep this going.
Yeah. Do you find that kids are real interested in bikes? I mean, I know that's the only way we had to get around back in the day, prehistoric era when I was a kid.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Particularly when you think about within the city itself, that some kids never had a bike. And so we got these bikes that were donated, and they're just thrilled.
Yeah, yeah. Kathy, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to Caitlin Sparks with Tri-State Trail. She spearheaded the effort to bring a traffic garden, our region's first ever traffic garden, to Dayton, Kentucky, and it's located right next to one of the elementary schools. And so that is now a resource for community people in that area, quick access, and other people to come to.
Explain what a traffic garden is for people who aren't familiar.
Sure, it's like a miniature streetscape. And so the sizes of things are brought down, so it's a good size for young riders. And it will include lane markings, pavement markings like pedestrian crossings, miniaturized signage so kids can learn how to understand a yield sign versus a stop sign. They are both for, you can use them as an instruction space, but they are also a place where kids can engage in some imaginative play and role-playing themselves, too. And we definitely see that when we go down there and interact with kids in that space. They are starting to invent, different roles for themselves and really interacting and thinking about what makes for a good function, way to interact with these types of spaces. So with the initiation of that, that has also sparked conversations with CPS and some of the Northern Kentucky schools, and I think that will be something we'll start to see growing as time goes by. And then the other shout-out I wanted to give was to CORA, the Cincinnati Off-Road Alliance. We don't have a representative here today, but they have made great strides in bringing a skills park to Mount Airy. And so that will be an accessible resource in the near future for young riders, and getting onto natural surface trails is really a great way for young people to learn how to ride.
Yeah. Douglas?
Yes, I just wanted to add it to Tri-State Trails and Queen City Bikes. They have these pop-up bike events where kids can come, bring their bikes, get air pumped into the tires, get minor repairs. And so that's a great way for the kids to see what's going on with the bikes.
Yeah.
And the kids, they're so happy to have their bikes repaired and all that. It's just a great way to introduce kids to the bike mechanics.
Yeah. Wonderful. One
last comment on this topic. Mobo Bicycle Co-op have a kids' night program on Monday evenings where kids under 16 get bikes for free. Mm-hmm. But we don't just give them bikes. We tutor them on how to take care of the bikes, which does a number of things. It makes them self-sufficient. It gives them some investment in the bike, a personal investment in the bike, and it teaches them a valuable skill. They can hopefully change a flat and do some of the bike maintenance and save the money they would cost their parents to take it to a bike shop and what have you. So, yeah. Yes.
And that's every Monday night?
Every Monday night from 5 through 8 p.m., yes.
Okay. Well, great. We're going to take another quick break, and we will be back with our bike show in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're wrapping up our Bike Month conversation, and we have experts here to answer your questions. My guests are Tri-State Trails Executive Director Wade Johnston, Major Taylor Cycling Club of Cincinnati President Douglas Prather, Engineer and Volunteer Mobo Bike Mechanic Fraser Cunningham, and Queen City Bike Board Member Kathy Cunningham. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We have Kurt on the line. Kurt, you've been waiting so patiently. Thank you so much. What's your question?
First of all, I wanted to say hi to Kathy and Frazier, because I know both of them from MOBO. And my question pertains to bike lane enforcement. So I live in between, on Central Parkway, kind of in between the Mockby and Ravine. And currently, I'm looking at construction not only in the bike lane, but they're also blocking the bus stop when they indeed have a lane that they are supposed to park in. My question is, how do we get the CPD to enforce bike lane rules? Because as a cyclist, if you're going down the bike lane and you run into these obstructions, you're forced into traffic that is ultimately going at a fast clip at that section.
Yeah, excellent question. Okay. Thanks, Kurt. That's a great question. Anybody have thoughts on enforcement? I'm going to look at you, Wade. You haven't talked for a while.
Well, I mean, I think it's a really valid question. And, you know, short of CPD coming out and ticketing people on a regular basis, I'm not quite sure what the perfect solution is. I happened to notice it when I was biking in here across the street at Music Hall. There were multiple cars parked in the bike lane. You know, I think it's a policy issue that that the city should consider how they enforce.
Yeah. Anybody want to add to that in any
way? I'm just wondering, a question for my co-panelists, is it appropriate to call 311 on this topic? I'm not sure. I mean, we certainly all see people parking in the bike lanes and intruding into them whilst they're driving and all kinds of stuff, which is why we prefer the protected style of bike lanes. Mm-hmm. But for sure, there are plenty of bike lanes that aren't protected. And yeah, what do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think what I've been told is that it is, as Wade alluded, it's a parking enforcement issue, and that's where complaints should go. 311 Cincy, or bringing it to the attention of DOTE, like, it can't hurt probably for their awareness, but they're not really the ones set up to manage it on the ground. But yeah, I would just back up what Wade said to have a broader engagement with it's certainly there's limited space in some situations, construction vehicles and whatnot, you know, there's constraints, but I think to put a higher priority on making sure that there's a safe way around, because often we're just diverted straight into traffic. Mm-hmm. There's not an accessory lane marked out with cones or anything, and there could be some measures taken to keep it safer.
Yeah.
And I think you just hit the nail on the head in terms of priority. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way I see it is not a priority for the Cincinnati police. It's just not, especially when you got folks running lights and running stop signs, and it's low priority. Yeah. So
we got a lot to deal with for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Kurt, thank you so much for that excellent question and that call. We appreciate it. We have Steve on the line. Hi, Steve. What is your question or comment?
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
I have a disability in my legs and balance problem, so I would like to know if anybody in the group is familiar with groups or clubs or anything dedicated to recumbent tricycles.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
And I can't remember the name. I was just introduced to a group, Steve, very recently, who I plan to work with down the road, and I'm struggling with, my memory's terrible, but they manufacture custom equipment for people like yourself with particular disabilities. They make recumbent bikes with motors and all kinds of things for people with very severe disabilities, and they might be able to help you. I'm just wondering how I might be able to get
any search terms you can recommend for kind of trying to sort this out.
Could he contact you guys and then you pass this question on, and I will, Steve, I will gladly get back to you directly. If you give the radio station your email address, I will contact you and give you some information.
Okay. Yeah. And Steve, that email is talk, T-A-L-K at WVXU.org. Kathy, did you want to add?
I was just going to quickly add, in terms of groups, I'm suffering the same problem for ages. I can't remember the specific name, but there are a few really active groups around here that are focused around supporting veterans who have, you know, and so there you have a group of people who are younger often, but struggling with some really significant disabilities and want to be active. And it can be, if he searches under those types of terms, I know we have some really good organizations in the city who are offering that.
Steve, thanks for listening. Thanks for that very important call. If you want to shoot us an email at talk at WVXU.org, we will make sure to get you as much information as we can dig up. We've been talking about Bike Month. I know we want to talk about getting your bike ready and making sure it's road ready. But first, Wade, you happened to mention during the break you want to mention next week is Bike to Work Week. Tell us about that.
That's right. So May is National Bike Month. The third week is National Bike to Work Week. And on Friday is National Bike to Work Day. And so here is an invitation to all of your listeners, Lucy, to come down to the Purple People Bridge from 7 to 9 a.m. for free breakfast and coffee. We will be celebrating with all kinds of cyclists, and it will run from 7 to 9 a.m. We'll probably have like 300 people there just celebrating bikes. So it's a great time. Please come out.
Okay, you had me at free breakfast. So, Fraser, talk about what it takes to get a bike road ready. What's your checklist like for getting your bike? I mean, I know you're biking all year round, but if you're getting it ready for the season, what would you be doing?
I would recommend, well, it depends, I suppose, for people who are familiar with what to do, they can do it themselves. Obviously, you look at the critical things. There's a belief amongst a lot of people that tires should still be up after months. I'm here to tell you inner tubes actually leak over time. So do not be surprised to find that your tires are completely flat. And if they are, be careful to lay the bicycle or the wheel on its side before you pump them up. Otherwise, the tire gets pumped up eccentrically if it's all the way flat and the weight of the bike's on the tire when you pump it up. So that's a good tip there. Also, take a good look around the tire once you've pumped it up. Look for cracks. Look for signs of age hardening that might indicate that you need to replace the tires. I have a litmus test to test tires for age hardening. I use my thumbnail. I dig my thumbnail into it hard, and then I remove it, and I watch how quickly the rubber bounces back. If you can see your thumbnail mark for more than a couple of seconds, you probably need new tires. So that's something to check. Let's see. Safety things first. Check the steering. Check that your headset isn't tight and is rotating. Your steering is moving freely when you pick up the tire off the ground, so you're eliminating the friction on the ground. You're basically making sure that everything's turning smoothly. Check the brakes. Checking the brakes is obviously a critical thing. There are different kinds of brakes. There are brakes that act on the rim. There are brakes that act on a rotor further from the road. Those are less problematic. If you have rim brakes, make sure the rim's clean and free of gunk, and certainly anything that acts as a lubricant, greasy road grime. A rag with some denatured alcohol wiping both sides around is a very good idea. Wipe remove the wheel if you can, and wipe the brake pads themselves. Sometimes maybe hit them with a little bit of sandpaper, that kind of thing. Chain, lubricate it. The chain needs lubricant. It's the lifeblood of the chain. Lubricant not only makes the chain less noisy, but if you have gears on your bike, the gears will work so much better if the chain's properly lubricated. Let's see what else. Make sure you have emergency supplies on your bike. Put a little bag under the seat, put a spare inner tube and some tire levers, and or some of these magnificent, very easy to use pre-glued patches are amazing. But if you use those, make sure that the inner tube isn't damp or greasy. So wipe it with a rag or a little bit of light sandpaper before putting it on and press it on good and hard, that kind of stuff.
Wow. So how does the average cyclist, you've just given us so many great tips, but if you're just a regular person, not a retired engineer who knows all this stuff, how do you know if this is stuff you can do yourself or if you need to take your bike to a shop if you suspect something's wrong?
If you're wondering whether you can do it yourself, look at some YouTube videos. If you're still a bit bewildered, go to a bike shop if you want them to do it. If you bring your bike to Mobo Bicycle Corp, where I regularly volunteer, I and people like myself will hand you the tools and show you how to do it so that you know how to do it. And if something goes wrong with your bicycle when you're away from home, hopefully you can take care of it by yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been so rainy lately. Kathy, what are your tips for biking safely when it's so wet outside?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge when the roads are wet is losing traction. So just like when you're driving a car, you want to plan ahead, start braking early. And the types of brakes you have will make a difference. If you've got rotor brakes, disc brakes, those perform better when it's wet. Rim brakes, you know, the rim keeps getting wet as the wheel rolls along the wet road. And so you especially need to start braking early when you've got rim brakes. The other thing is to really watch out for anything on the street like paint, manhole covers, grates, all of that stuff becomes extra slick when it's wet. So take your time. You know, if you normally corner, you know, take your favorite corner at a certain speed, you just want to slow down. And also if you're cornering, like, don't touch your brakes, don't grab the brakes, just brake super lightly if you need to, because just all the things that cause you to lose traction are accentuated when the road is wet. And the other thing is, I guess, visibility and, you know, just bring a pack of handkerchief or something. So if you wear glasses like I do, you can wipe them off. Sometimes it helps to have a visor or wear a cap underneath. And if there's some visibility concerns, if it's kind of dark, if it's kind of a dark day, just be sure you put those lights on your bike, wear reflective clothing. Keep yourself light and bright and visible as possible.
Yeah. Douglas, is there special gear that you swear by when you're biking in the rain? Do you believe in raincoats, no raincoats?
Well, I do wear rain gear, but more importantly, if I know it's going to rain, if I don't have to go out and ride, I do not.
Yeah. See, I like that. That's a good tip. That's a tip I can get behind. Yeah.
But I will wear reflective clothing, as Kathy pointed out. Because you want to be predictable, you want to be visible, and you want to be able to communicate to drivers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, this has been terrific. I've been talking with Tri-State Trails Executive Director Wade Johnston, Major Taylor Cycling Club of Cincinnati President Douglas Prather, Engineer and Volunteer Mobo Bike Mechanic Fraser Cunningham, and Queen City Bike Board Member Kathy Cunningham. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. If you miss our program live, you can subscribe to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.